Good to see everyone. It's nice to be able to speak this morning on a good topic of who God the Father is. And we're going to speak about the hearts of the fathers this morning. Yeah, I'm Kobus. If you don't know me, I think I know everyone here. And Kobus, Meyer, and Lorette, they send love. I'm sure they're enjoying being a bit on out in nature at the moment. So, yeah, we bless them that they will enjoy that. So, the heart of the Father, and just to link to what the sermon last week was that Kobus brought on the glory of God, I think was the name, or it was about the glory of God. And I think I just thought it ended in such a fitting way to connect to today's topic, where Kobus told the part in Genesis of Moses being hidden in the cleft of a rock, and God said he's going to reveal himself to him, and he's going to reveal his glory to him, or just his back, just part of him. And then he said that I will move past and show you my goodness. And for me, when talking about God as a father, I think God's love and his goodness is the main key traits of God the Father that I think is very important for us to just perceive and to understand and to believe. So the Father image of God is, you know, it's foundational to having a correct standing in relationship to God, is to have a good picture of what that is, and that God really is good and that there is love. Otherwise, if we're going to trust him and we don't really believe he's good, it's going to be a struggle to really trust him in that. So that's my heart and prayer this morning, that we will just come to know that a bit more this morning. And that he wants relationship with us as a father does. Yeah, so we're going to look a bit at what the Bible says about God as a father this morning. And starting with Malachi 4, verse 6, it reads, "And he will turn the heart of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." So God is serious about fathers' hearts turned to children and children to their fathers. And right from the beginning of the Bible, we know that God wanted relationship with Adam and Eve right through. And this is interesting, the last verse of the Old Testament, verse 4, Malachi 4, verse 6. And after that, there was a gap of 400 plus years that the prophets didn't speak or anything. So this was sort of God's last word for them to turn. And interesting also that it says, if you read the whole thing, it actually says that Elijah that will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Before the great day of the Lord, and that was metaphorically speaking. The Bible commentators would say that it refers to John the Baptist, being a type of a prophet, of an Elijah, of we know his message was repent and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So really that message that We know that fathers, we can become hardened in our hearts. Children also hardened if we're disobedient to our fathers. And so the way back is repentance to our Father. So that's the key message that we're starting out, and we're going to pull that through this morning. And then just 1 John 3 verse 1, telling us actually in the New Testament that God is a Father. It says that see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. It's in the ESV version. And so love being clear in the description of the Father, a key crucial part of who a Father and who God the Father is. So yeah, we're just going to go a bit into to almost sketch a picture this morning of God the Father. We're going to look at his different traits and characteristics. And then we're also trusting to, for us all, to see the image of who God is. But then also, if there are those of us who are fathers, what we should strive to be as fathers. And we know, unfortunately, none of us dads are perfect fathers. And that is to be expected. And we have faults, but we can look to God as the ideal Father. So we're going to look at four things. We're going to look at the heart of the Father, Father God, and we're going to look at his nature, his character, and his work. What is the works that God the Father does? So first up is we're going to look at the heart of the Father. And it starts there with, I'm just going to list things. I hope you can read it. I'll read it out to you as well. There's so much, various different references in the Bible to these things. Romans 8:31 is the one that says that if God is for us, who can be against us? And I think when we think of the heart of God, the Father, I think the main message about his heart is that he loves us and that he is for us. If he is for us, who can be against us? That verse 38 is the one that says that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So his heart is so just love. He wants us to know his love. He wants to affirm us and approve us as a father. Like to let you know that he is happy with you, that he approves you. That you are good and right in his eyes, Matthew 3:17, and then that you are wholly accepted by the Heavenly Father. His heart is for blessing. So blessing, also favor, also to be envied. But that verse there, Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3, is about the blessing on Abraham that said, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And through Jesus we know that we have access to the blessing that God has given Abraham. So that's God's heart, is that all families in the earth, and that we will be a blessing to others as well. The Father wants to save. If any dad sees his child get hurt or be in danger, you just want to jump in and help out. His desire is to heal and restore and deliver. We know that through Jesus. the desire for intimacy. Okay, so James 4 verse 8 that we know that says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. But yeah, just this is a picture of the heart of the Father, and there's probably so much more, but God loves us this much. This is just like a touch of his heart of love towards us. Now, as I just mentioned, unfortunately, we as dads, we may have hurt, we may have from our own dads, and not just men, but ladies and children as well, from our dads. And we call it father wounds because it's such a big thing, known by even by the unbelievers. The world knows that a father's influence in a child's life is quite very important. But at 2 Corinthians 5:21, I just want to read that because giving us hope that where we make mistakes, our dads make mistakes, those sins and mistakes that we made, Jesus came to die for that. And it says that for our sake, he made him, Jesus, to be a sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Yeah, so we can be changed and transformed into more of him, but also that we are accepted, even if we make mistakes, that God doesn't keep it against us, and these father wounds that we're going to speak of is it relates to shame and rejection often, mostly. And if you have suffered, you know, if you've suffered, and all of us in some degree or the other, and often it's just small things. Sometimes we haven't had a dad who said to us that he's proud of us or that he loves you. And this 2 Corinthians verse and the gospel of Jesus just comes to just affirm that you are not rejected. Even if maybe it's too late to reconcile with your earthly dad or whatever it may be, that Jesus, through his message of reconciliation, said that you're accepted no matter what you experienced. And so we want to say no to rejection, we want to say no to shame. And those are, yeah, basically we're exposing, just through this, just want to expose some of the lies that the enemy, the devil, comes to plant in our hearts. Because wounds are, we know it's like it's a hurt, and it gets stuck there, and that's kind of how you start to live, like you're not good enough, or whatever hurt that you picked up. You know, rejection is like you're not wanted, or shame is like you're not good enough. And if you look at that list of not ever being having the privilege to know your dad, divorce brings a lot of hurt in our picture of fathers. Your dad might have been away a lot, around, but not involved in your life. Abusive, angry, violent. No physical touch. Never showed you love. Never showed love to your mom. Ignored you. Often spoke negatively to you. So, sure, that's heavy stuff. Those are big things. And maybe it's not. You know, it's just bringing these things up is good to. We actually at Freedom Encounter the other day, this is the kind of things that we need to confess. We need to bring it in the light if you have hurt in any form or sense, to tell someone about it, and maybe you're just sad about not having your dad around anymore. If you have the opportunity, be around close family or friends, and just remember again, just speak again about some of the things, just sadness maybe about missing your dad. We know that confession is powerful. The Bible teaches us. And so these hurts, these wounds, they produce certain fruits in that next block. So we start to live with anger or addictions, pain, fear, depression, not feeling inferior, not feeling worthy, guilty, and that whole long list. And those are the working out, the fruit of the lies. If we don't have a healthy image of who our Father is, and yeah, just this morning again, saying no to believing, because ultimately that comes from believing that a lie, that you are rejected, or your father didn't love you or something. A lot of those hurts later on result in these kind of skewed or corrupted ways of thinking, living, going into sin, sexual sin even, not being able to show love because you don't know love yourself. And so it's very sad to know that some people have not really had that role model, a good role model, in their lives. Okay, so we're gonna trust also this morning for Jesus to heal us in any of those areas, because he had compassion. That's why Jesus came. In the next verse, Psalm 103. It's beautiful that says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And Jesus, he is sad. He feels, God is sad if we have these kind of hurts, these wounds. It says that as a father, so we as earthly fathers, we have compassion. We even probably the worst criminals sometimes will have compassion on their kids. And then you think, sure, you're so mean to other people that you still know how to show some compassion to your own children. But it's just a thing about a father wants to show love. And often the hurt that they incur is not, it's out of their own hurt. It's sort of just out of their brokenness that they hurt their own children as well. And so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So the Father God has compassion on those who fear him. And fear just simply means to be in awe of God. A healthy fear is actually like we do, we worship God. We are in awe of him. And that's now one difference between me as a dad and God as a dad. My children don't need to worship me. but we're going to look now at the nature of God. And he's God. He's awesome. And he's also a father. So yeah, the nature of the Father, there's a list of things. He's the perfect God. He's holy. He's the omniscient Father, that's all-knowing Father. I know most of the things my kids do, but not everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipotent. That's all-powerful, almighty God. He's eternal. He created time. He stands outside of time. There's no end to God. He's immutable, meaning there's no change in God. There's no variation in Him. And He's sovereign, meaning that He rules and reigns according to how He will and how He wants to. We know that, and the important thing this morning again is when we come to know Father God is to know that we can trust Him, that He is sovereign in our lives also, and He is in control. He is in control of everything. And he will have His will, even in our lives. And this is, if we look at the nature of God, this is why we can say He's worthy to be worshipped. I mean, that's only God. That's only God. So this picture is a beautiful nature scene there. There's a picture of a boy or a child on a dad's back there in, I don't know if it's the Alps or somewhere beautiful in nature. And so just the word nature, you know, it reveals the nature of God. It's magnificent and it's awesome. And that scripture verse, Psalm 33 verse 8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord." Or like we now said, "Be in awe of the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Yeah. So, no one can compare to God. And yeah, how awesome is our God if we look at all that He has made and done. So thirdly, we look at His character, the character of the Father God, and this is a bit more, again, relief or like a bit more something we can relate to as dads and as people in general is God's character, because He wants to build His character into us. That glory, the first one, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, says that. It says that we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image, the same image, from one degree of glory to another. So, we as dads, we don't, and none of us take the glory, we're not worthy of receiving glory. All glory goes to God, but He has made everything that is created to reveal His glory. He made us, and so we need to live in a way that gives Him glory. He's just and righteous. He's gracious. He judges. And wrath, it just speaks of God. He gets angry at sin and at, like any dad would get angry if anyone or anything hurts His children. God gets angry at unrighteousness and injustice. God is merciful, which means compassion. He gives us compassion instead of judgment. He has mercy on us. And rest I can relate to very well. Dads can do rest well. That's part of His character, which I'm glad. And then purpose and commission. There's that Psalm 127 also that speaks of children as like arrows in the dad's quiver. He shoots them in a direction. And so that's part of the Father's character to give. And then maybe one that wasn't shown on there, but on the next slide, is courage also. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." We know that our God has no fear in him. He's a God of love. He's brave. And us as men and dads, we strive to be like that. That uncle there, that dad or opa is courageous to, you know, take the courage to be able to repair a car and to say, yes, I can take on this challenge and try and figure out what's wrong with this mechanics here. And knowing that God is courageous, he's glorious and courageous and he's strong, that comforts us. It should also encourage us to not believe the lies of fear in our lives, but to be courageous. And I just felt like I know I fail in that. I give in to fear and things, and that the Lord is want to trust that the Lord wants to, through his grace, come and redeem us, come and make us courageous, take us out of that place of anxieties and fears and into a place where we can stand strong for the Lord as dads and as men. Then the fourth one is the work of the Father, or sort of referring to the work that God the Father does is all redemptive work. It's work of restoring us back to him. That's what he does. He frees us from sin. He delivers us. That's what redemption means, work of redemption. And that Romans 8:15 is the well-known verse. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And spiritually we know that we become adopted as sons, as daughters. Once we receive Jesus, once we become born again, we realize our need for a Father, for a Heavenly Father, and we make him Lord. We trust in him. We say, "You are my Abba Father, you're my dad, you're the one in our trust. I'm not in control of my own life. I'm not the author of my own life. You are Lord, and I surrender all control over to you." And that's the work that he wants to do. He wants to shape our identity. When we become Christians, our identity is Jesus, really, is in Christ. It's not anymore the old man, but Christ who lives in us. And we do everything to surrender, to yield to how the Lord wants to work out and be in us, through us. He comforts us, he guides and communicates. Something we need to learn as children of God is to hear for ourselves the Holy Spirit's voice, what he wants to say to us, not just to listen to or to read someone else's interpretations, but to hear personally, and just like we did now in worship, to speak to the Lord and hear his approval of what he wants, what he doesn't want in our life. He protects, he provides and rewards. On that, I just also felt like maybe this morning you have a hurt in that area of saying, "Lord, Father, I don't see the provision that you always provide or reward me, or maybe protecting me. I don't feel safe and secure." And And in this life and this world that we work hard and we fight for what we need to survive and to live full lives, it feels sometimes it can be hard. And I just want to encourage you that is His work. God provides and rewards, and kind of just caution us against running away from the Father, trying to do it ourselves. But yeah, let's run to the Father. Let's go back to Him this morning. Trust Him. Like that girl, fall into His arms. Just trust Him. And He disciplines and prunes. That is the work of the Father, correction. So I had the privilege on Friday night. I knew I wasn't going to be able to see my dad, and I still have my dad around. Opa's just next door, but I could pray for him. The girls went out. We sent them out for a movie, and Opa and me and my dad could pray. And yeah, it was such a privilege. I could just honor him and say thank you. I could give him a card and just pray, which was nice. And looking at my dad, I'm privileged to have a good dad, and I can say that this morning, and I could say that to him. And he's not perfect. And I'm not perfect, and none of us are, but on this topic of discipline, it stood out for me because my dad was always very consistent and so he was disciplined. We know him the way he is, he's still the same, and he's disciplined, and that wasn't always... discipline isn't always pleasant, like we read now. And my dad wasn't always the popular guy in the house. And I didn't always like it, or sometimes didn't like him. But it's actually, now I praise God that he is and he was the way he was. And that now, more and more these days, we treat each other as friends, and I think it wouldn't have been like that if, you know, he hasn't been that constant role model in my life growing up. So in Hebrews 12 verse 6, it speaks about that. It says that because the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and he chastens everyone He accepts as His son. I think this is the NIV version, slightly different, but endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate nor true sons or daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplined us for our good. He disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And I think that says it all about correction and discipline, and how it's actually not only punishment, it's actually for the good. It's for that strengthening, it's for the correcting. And discipline is also never meant for condemnation. It's meant for correction, for restoration, not condemnation. The fruit of righteousness comes out of it. And so for us as dads also, that's important that we, and I think now as much as ever, but like Danielle actually in prayer meeting before the time just had this picture of, what was it, a stick that in the river, or the father that's in the river, the father. But that the fathers need to, we just need to be present. We need to be the voice in our households, in our children's lives. And she saw this picture of a river and a dad, or fathers standing in the river. And because they are standing there, the water gets diverted around the father or into a direction. And that sometimes we as dads, we don't think, you know, just standing there in the river doesn't maybe mean much, or you're not doing much just being around, but it actually purposes or corrects and steers our families' lives in the correct direction. And that first verse that we read in Malachi 4:6, it first says, speaks to the fathers, turn your hearts to the children. So we as fathers need to first, we need to make sure that we correct our children, and we just bring that voice of reason and the truth of God's word in our situations, in our lives. Okay, last, I'm getting to the end of the message. I'm reading a lot of Bible verses. Matthew 7:21-24 says, let me just read, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Just that word there, I never knew you. Just sort of as a warning to us, but also part of God's character. And we said it earlier, his heart is for intimacy. And we see again how serious Jesus took it to say that if I don't know you, if I don't have a relationship with you, then you can't be called my child, really. A father needs to know his children. And this is the heart of the Father, is he wants relationship, he wants us to know him. So my last picture up there for you, and that's for all the dads, best dads. I just want to celebrate the dads. Like I said, none of us have made it yet or perfect. But well done for keeping on and keeping your faith, and just believing it's never too late. For some it might feel too late, but bring that to the Lord also, and trust for any restoration that needs to be done. 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And I think the picture that we sort of tried to sketch this morning was just to see the truth again of who God the Father is, and the truth of who we as fathers need to strive towards. And yes, I want to just say respect to all the dads who, there's a lot of false messages that is not wanting to make us walk in the truth, but false images of who a dad should be, who a man should be in this world, and we know all about it, just the pressures and different pressures, but like Nicole said before the time, Jesus is, he's the example for us. He's an example. It's not necessarily Superman. That's the example we need to aim for. But it's meekness, it's lowliness, it's strength in the spirit, it's all of the things that Jesus embodied. Yeah, so I want to just invite you, bless you, to say if you're a man, a woman, child, dad, daughter, son, this morning, just again, if you have any need for prayer in this area, if you have hurt from your dad, those father wounds, maybe come and confess it. Come and just pray with someone. If there's something that just maybe came up this morning, just come and tell someone and let them pray with you. If you're struggling in any of the areas of those characteristics that needs to still be formed in you as a dad, like courage or maybe grace or mercy, is you're struggling with that, also come forward. And also, if thirdly, your relationship with the Father God, let's pray, trust this morning that we will stand in relationship, right standing relationship, just all out, just being free before God as our Father, knowing that we can talk to Him anytime, at all times. He is a glorious, holy God, but He's also our Father.